Log Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome back. Boy, we had a little bit of an issue here coming in. All right. Happy Saturday, everybody. Welcome to the weekend. Welcome to the weekend. Thank God for being here another day. Everybody has a chance to get together and group up once again. Today, we are going to be showcasing our artists. We're also going to be showcasing our entrepreneurs. So, for those of you out there listening, if you see any artists that you like, and you can give some thought, you can think about how to teach them by contacting us here. For the rest of you, all of you entrepreneurs that's up and coming out there, we are going to have you listed and spoke on today. We're going to be showcasing you and bringing out your contact info. Anybody who's in the area that you're in, if you're interested in their service, kindly feel free to either contact us, go to the market page, or we'll give you their numbers directly so you can get there. All right, as usual, we have to start off giving our sponsor affiliates some shout-outs. So Mr. Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 Kiss FM Radio in New York, now of isolradio.com with Mr. Jay Dixon. Sundays from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., Barry's doing his magic out there on the turntable. So you can listen in on Sunday nights from 6 to 10 p.m. on isolradio.com. And also, he doubles up as the CEO of Track One Entertainment Company, which means he's the guy that goes along with the two divas I'm going to mention next. And they're out there in Brooklyn, New York, Queens, wherever you need to be. They have events out, these wonderful venues, full of nice music and a great crowd, a great environment. And when they charge you tickets and you buy a ticket, anytime you go, you're never disappointed. So you'll have a bunch of fun with them. Moving right along to the people that he usually hooks up with, Simply Sensational Inc. Entertainment Company, and that will be Marcia Morgan and Stephanie Hammond-Tillette. My two girls, another two people who come up with the best events in the same areas. When these guys get together and put on an event, you are never disappointed. You never come back with less than the best. So with that being said, look out in the next 2 weeks. You're going to have two upcoming events from both Track One and Simply Sensational Entertainment. August 21st at the Brooklyn Terrace in Brooklyn, New York, there is going to be an R&B event featuring Black Ivory and Soul Generation as performers. This place is hot. They got a beautiful indoor-outdoor venue and options. You can go inside and see the beautiful venue there, or you could go outside to the rooftop. Beautiful skyline view of Brooklyn. Things light up at night when it goes dark. It's just gorgeous. I was there for one time. I felt like I was in the palace. So you guys have to see Barry Mason or Stephanie Hammond-Tillette for tickets. $25 is all that it costs you, and you're going to have a ball. Now, also on August 27th, there's going to be another event that they have featuring the new group Crows Hill. So see these guys, and you will be able to get some information on how to obtain tickets and bless us with your presence at this place. Also today, we have my little co-host, my Saturday guest co-host, Miss Layla. She will be helping me showcase the artists and the up-and-coming entrepreneurs. So hang out with us. We're going to go to our first break featuring our first artist, and Miss Layla will be introducing him.
Hi, listeners. This is your Saturday co-host, Layla. Up next is Mike Checks, Rewind, me and my shorty, we'll be back in three.
Everybody, that was our first artist on the showcase for today. That was Mike Check with Rewind Me and My Shorty. Next up is going to be Marcus Silver's Candy, which you all know is his rendition of Cameo's 1980 single of the same name, Candy. He just does it with some freestyle. Before we go in with Mr. Silver's today, I want to let you all know that today we're going to have a little bit of a sports news discussion with regards to Riley Cooper's recent racial slur and Michael Vick's reaction and Marcus Vick's reaction. So I want all of you to call in. The number here is 347-327-9967. I'm also going to open up a chat room so all of you can post your comments on what you think of the situation. Do you feel that Riley Cooper is sorry for what he said, or sorry that he got caught? Because you can't unring a bell, and saying sorry is not going to stop the fact that this is what he's feeling. So what do you think? Do you think that he meant what he said? You think he's upset that he got caught? or that he's upset with himself for real because he did some real soul searching. So I'm going to post that question in. I'll give you the links in just a little bit. Until then, here's Mr. Marcus MC Silvers with his rendition of Cameo's Candy. Be back in 3.5.
It's like candy, candy. Yeah. Oh.
Woke up in the spot, I got my shine on. Team on the block, we get that grind on. Girls only with that green, so treat them like I watch, I don't win, cause I ain't got time for them. I got love for my fans, though. Beat it up, she got me bustin' shots like Rambo. Riding non-stop, without handle. Six shift, no automatic on manual. My team, you know I got a ride for. Every truck I do, I cup a G4. Boss is crazy, Primo. About to blow up, boom, C4. I'm on a roll, I can't stop it. Swagger on a mill, yo, she's on copper. You mad cause she chose me. And she tastes just like
I know you refuse to be held down anymore. know someone that had a negative vibe. And if you're trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going. They don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our shirts together. Gonna polish up our ass. And if you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
Now, back with more On The Edge.
Welcome back to the On The Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm Layla, your guest co-host. Up next is Jai Music, Weather of Love. We'll be back in three.
What do I say?
When the tears just won't stop.
When the tears won't stop. feels like I'm climbing a mountain.
Climbing Mount Sorrow.
It feels like the time.
And it feels like the time.
When all I've leaned on.
When all I've leaned on.
It catches me by surprise.
Catches me by surprise.
Tell me, Mr. Refuge.
Where's the refuge?
Where's the joy?
Where is my paradise? I just lift my hands and say,
sing the rain.
Make it through the storm.
Positive and keeping it up. She's a young mom, and
she's really out there hustling. So those of you that are out there listening, if you hear any artists that you like, these are all unsigned talent and up-and-coming market artists that are coming up on our show. If you hear anything that you like or you're interested in working with them, even if you feel that they're not fully polished product yet, but you feel that there's something that you can do to polish them up, feel free to contact us, you know, on through our Facebook page or on our website. Currently, that website server is having some issues, so we're trying to figure out what's going on, but it will be up and running. You can contact me in the process, Katie Barnett, on Facebook. Inbox me, and I will get you the information. And the last person that we just listened to was the six young people that I told you about, and I continuously uplift these guys. One of them is the brother of our sports co-host, Monster Miles. But this group is called Livra. Livra is six young people in Queens, New York that are pushing past the negativities of today's youth and the community problems that's out there and the peer pressures, and they're keeping their head in music. In addition, they're keeping their head in spiritual music and uplifting Christ as they go. So one of the things that I definitely continue to do here is to try to promote them because they're absolutely awesome. So if you've been interested in booking Livra, because Livra was on Love & Hip Hop for a brief stint a couple of weeks ago, just like I said, you know, reach us here on Facebook, and we will be able to put you in line and in connection with them. Now, taking a small break from the entrepreneurs, the market pages, I would like to speak on this situation with the Philadelphia Eagles, Riley Cooper. Okay? We, are sick to death of having all of these racial slurs going back and forth with on the news. You know, nothing is stupider to me than causing such issues because of somebody's differences. Okay? The world can end tomorrow. We can have bombs come and strike your kid at school or you at your job. People being different from you in race and color and creed and religion, why on earth does this stupidness need to come out all the time? Now, here's this professional athlete at a Kenny Chesney country concert who, in the age of technology and device recordings and video cameras, why on earth would you put yourself in such a position? I don't care what it was or what. You're an athlete. Everyone knows who you are. You have an obligation to keep your life private or your whatever because you're constantly under someone's radar. Why would you go where millions of people are crowded with you with cell phones that record video with sound and say something as stupid as you can go past this gate and beat up all those N-word people over there? How dumb can you be? Now you want to sit there and say how disgusted with yourself you are? I doubt that that's why you're upset, Mr. Cooper. You're upset because you got caught saying it. Because there's no way an apology stops what you feel. Sorry, that's what you feel. That comes from inside you. That's who you are. Your parents are appalled because they probably didn't raise you to feel that way. But just like a few of these articles about you said, you didn't come up with that word just at that Chesney concert. That's something that you've been with for quite some time, and you've got a bunch of teammates who feel the same. Kudos to you, Michael Vick, for standing on the fence and keeping your dignity about yourself. You forgive him. You have to, because you know what? People who don't know how to respect other people's diversities and differences are sick. But for whatever your personal feelings were about the situation, you remembered that you were an athlete that was in trouble once yourself, and you kept it dignified. So I compliment you on that. Marcus Vick, as much as I believe you put yourself in the hot seat only because you're a celebrity saying a word, you know, saying something that you feel like saying, I can understand exactly what you're feeling, and I don't have no hate for you. Now, our chat room is open, okay? Our chat room is open. Kindly feel free to go in and post your thoughts. You know, you don't have to say your name, whatever the case is. Just join the conversation and say what you have to say. You know, your comments may be read on the air. Maybe read on the air, maybe not. But either way, you know, we all have an opinion about this. It's this racism nonsense is becoming sickening. Okay? All right, then. So, we were going to be playing one more of our artists. Actually, no, we're going to take time out to play something from an already established artist. We'll be back to continue discussion on the sports news, and our entrepreneurs will be read up next, okay? So, just give me a little bit of time. We'll be back in just a few minutes. There is a song, an older song by a group called Lifehouse called Hanging by a Moment. That's what I'm going to play, and I will be back in 3.5 minutes.
Desperate for changing, starving for truth. Closer to where I started, I'm chasing after you. I'm falling even more in love with you. Letting go of all I've ever wanted to. I'm standing here to tell you, baby.
Now, back with more On The Edge.
Welcome back, everybody. That was a classic from Lifehouse, Hanging by a Moment. And we will continue on now by moving on to our entrepreneurs. And first up is right there in Lansdale, PA. Latasha is the CEO of Latasha Tassels. This young lady knows how to do some magic on your hair with twists. And she's absolutely wonderful. She is in Lansdale, PA. You can reach her at TashaTassels.com. You can also take a look at our website on the On The Edge Show website on Wix.com. It's katielissa.wix.com/ontheedge. You'll be able to see all the work that she does. She can do children, she can do men, she can do women. She can twist up your hair in any design that you like. And she can be reached at TashaTassels@gmail.com. Next up, in Flint, Michigan, we have my boy Mosey doing two different services. So you can get your picture taken, okay, in the best of ways. This guy is awesome. I've seen his work. I've seen him do some special effects. And he can be reached with Ianka Photography and Imaging. If you want to reach him there, you can reach him at marmos567@gmail.com. Again, that's marmos567@gmail.com. That's your boy, Mo Mosley, in Flint, Michigan. He is also the page owner of one of the most, colorful sports discussion pages. There is MSM and MSM2 on Facebook. So those of you that are frequent loyal followers and posters in there, this is the same guy, and he's doing some imaging and some photography. And once again, you can reach him for photography purposes at marmos567@gmail.com. And also, he does music. Mr. Mo does music. Mo Mosley, my boy, he is in Flint, Michigan. Once again, so all you Flintstones out there, you know, get to contact him for your music sounds. You can reach him there as mosleysound@aol.com. Okay? And you can also, like I said, if you want to hear some samples, he has an official Facebook page, which is linked up on our official market page. You can just click on there and see what it is that, you know, he does. If it interests you, look him up. Look him up. Okay? Now, next up we have Lights in the City. My girl, Miss Darlene Cox Owens. She has what... I know y'all have seen these things. If you go to a concert, if you go to, at one of those arenas where they have sports, you can see her have these little fandangles that light up and they flash with lights. But she doesn't just have those cute little thin wire things you put around your neck that light up. She has watches. She has bracelets. She has earrings. She has rings. I mean, they're just adorable. She's been at a few of the events that we have attended, or I've worked with the Track One and Simply Sensational Inc. companies, and they're awesome. They're awesome. She's pushing herself out there. She's hustling. You can reach Darlene at 347. Let me get this right. It's coming up. All right. Lights in the City is the name of the business. She is Darlene Cox Owens. Okay, you can reach her at 347. Let me get this right. I want to make sure that my girl gets her props up there. All right, 347-677-6500. 347-677-6500. We have a Mary Kay consultant, a young lady that's doing her thing as an entrepreneur. Her name is Nikita Barrett. You can reach her, and you know what? If you want Mary Kay products, she is available universally. You can be in Georgia and order, and she can deliver it directly to your home. You can reach her at N. Barrett, number 23, at MaryKay.com. So, you know, support Nikita. She's out there trying to make her way through, and she's going to school and everything. Next up, in Brooklyn, New York. My guy, Nate Johnson, he's out there, and he does two things also. He does PC repair and IT services, and he was formerly known as PC Mac in Brooklyn, New York. So any of you that dealt with his business under the name PC Mac, he has been renamed to Doodle Technologies. in Brooklyn, New York. You can contact him for any of your IT services or your PC repair needs at doodletechnologies@gmail.com. Moving on to his next business, for you music people that's out there and putting on events, he offers for nonprofit organizations free DJ-based services, including sound and lighting. And he is under the number 4 Play Music Entertainment in Brooklyn, New York. You can contact him at the number 4 Play Music ENT at gmail.com. Now, if you are just a nonprofit organization and you're just planning an event, he also provides DJ-based services with sound and lighting for a fee. And you can contact him at the 4playmusicent@gmail.com for that as well. We have Michelle Roberts, who is the CEO of M&R Hair Weave Design. She can sit up there and do magic in your hair. Okay, braiding. She does braiding, she does weaving, and she can make anything sing on your hair. So just to let you know, if you want to get your hair did and look good and get your do done, you can contact Miss Michelle at M&R Weave Design. Lord, my website is acting up, so just bear with me, my listeners. You guys have been completely awesome through all of this technical stuff. Storms are affecting us every which way, so just hang in with us, okay? You also will be able to see all of this in person on our website. So hang on just a second. Miss Michelle Roberts can be reached at 347-399-0139. Okay? 347-399-0139 to get your hair done. Next up, we have Jonathan Ellerby. Now, after you get your hair did in New York, and she's in Queens, she's based out in St. Albans, New York, so after you get your hair done by her, if you want to take a picture and look hot, Jonathan Ellerby. I say this all the time because the man has done some magic. He is the CEO of JE Photos. He does some wonderful photography out there, and he can make a dusty dog look like a pedigree breed. So contact Jonathan in Brooklyn, New York at 347-599-4535 or at jephotos on facebook.com. We also have ZMG Entertainment, Ms. Zena Gilliard. Mr. Dave G, he is a performer. This guy, he was the winner of Track One Entertainment, So You Think You Can Sing. Now, this guy, I had the privilege of watching him in action on a Mother's Day event, and he can make you bounce and pop and bop and do anything that you like, even if you're tired. Okay, so if you are interested in hearing Mr. Dave G, contact his manager at ZMG Management Company. She's at zenagilliard@yahoo.com. Again, you can look at the On The Edge Show market page to catch up with these guys officially. You can also take a look at our OTE market, artist market page for these wonderful singers that you have been hearing. If you're interested in hooking up with them or booking them for any event, or if you're a record producer and you'd like to sign them, just contact us here at On The Edge, or you can look at our On The Edge market page and you can pick up where where to contact them. Next, we have Jazz OG Entertainment Paparazzi Productions by Mr. Wesley Hooks. Call him Jazz. He is... Okay, another little mic glitch there. You guys are wonderful. Thanks for hanging in there with me. Okay, Mr. Jazz, okay, he is the owner of Jazz OG Paparazzi Productions. This guy can do photography as well. He can snap a picture and catch an essence in you that's something else. And he is based out in New York, New York. If you want to reach him for your music needs, to sign him up, he is can be reached at 347-715-8075. Before this broadcast ends tonight, I will be reading them again, and hopefully everything will be up with the server, and we can get them, you know, free and clear without an issue. All right? Now, I'm going to go back into break. We're going to have Ms. Jai Fountain, a.k.a. Jai Music, singing her rendition of Madonna's 1980s classic Material Girl, and we will be back in 3 minutes, okay? Be back in three.
Now, back with more On The Edge.
All right, that was Jai Music's second song on the list today. And that was her rendition of Madonna's Material Girl. So, let's get back to our sports news discussions today. Riley Cooper, okay, went to a country music concert for Kenny Chesney and made a round of racial slurs, okay? So now, we have spoken before about the entertainment business having a social responsibility, okay, to presenting themselves in the public eye and, you know, leading by example. Now, Marcus Vick and Michael Vick, two brothers in the league, had two different things to say in reaction to Riley Cooper's slurs, okay? Now, my question of the night is, does Riley Cooper really did some soul searching and feel really disgusted with his actions looking back on what he said? Or is he just pretty much upset that he got caught saying something that obviously has been with him for a while? Now, there are variations of reactions from his teammates have come up. Some of them just outright don't want to be bothered with him, even though they have to play with him. Some of them forgive him for their own purposes, but we'll never see him the same again. And others, as we have seen, have pretty much figured, you know, he made a bad mistake, but let's move on. Now, we are all a little sick and tired of this racial overtones and everything that's happening, particularly because the Zimmerman trial has been pretty much a front page news source. So we've all been angry. We're all upset with it. We know that racism is very big and prominent out in our society. But let's ask this question. As an athlete, as a celebrity, as a person in a high-profile public position, regardless to what it is that you feel off camera, out of screen, your life isn't private. So what would possess you to say something this stupid? I don't really care if you want to say that you were drunk. You shouldn't be drinking in public and get that ridiculous that you can't control your behavior. You are in an age of technology where everything is recorded. Everything is brought out. There are paparazzi hungry for a scandal. And you would put yourself in a position amongst thousands of people that you are all squeezed in with that has a cell phone. I mean, babies have cell phones that record. So you know that you're at risk every single second of your life to have something be posted about you because you're a celebrity. Why on earth would you risk saying something so stupid? Now, you want to say that you feel bad about it? The league has suspended you from team activities? Honestly, are you sorry or are you sorry you got caught? This is something that's obviously in you. You feel it. You believe this. Saying sorry is not going to take away the fact that you have a sickness going on with you about other people's diversity. So as a celebrity, you screwed up. Do we believe that you're sorry? Is this going to make it any better? You can't unring a bell. So you're saying that you're sorry for what you said. You have to work with African-American teammates that now know that, you know, all that time that you've been going to drinks with them and you've been celebrating and slapping five or on each other's butts as you guys do after the game. Now tell me, what do you think that your teammates are feeling who are of that culture? We do have a caller in, so let's see what they have to say about this, and I will ask the questions, okay? So hang on with me, listeners. Hi, caller, you're on the air?
Good evening, Katie. How are you?
Hey, how are you, Deacon Williams? How are you?
I am blessed.
All right. Let me get your opinion on the news discussion.
Well, I thought it was very sickening to me when I saw the tape. Evidently, that's something that he had inside of him, and it just came out. Just let's not beat around the bush. Okay, evidently he had those thoughts, but you know, I can't be too hard on him for the simple fact that I don't care whether you're black or white, that word should never be used, period, because of the history of the word. I don't care how you want to say you spell it or whatever. It's still the same word to me. First of all, we have to get with our people and let them know how degrading that word is. I don't care. It's even today. I don't allow anybody to come up to me and say, hey, you my nigga, because I don't play that. I do not play that, and I will not have somebody come up to me and saying that because it's very degrading. Our people have to stop using it so freely because you have another race of white people that think it's okay to say, well, they're calling each other it every day in a regular conversation. And then you got these athletes that are in the locker room and hearing our own race in the locker room saying, yo, my nigger. I mean, come on. Come on. You can't have it both ways. And then when somebody else uses it, you want to get upset and get all up in arms. What he did and what he said was totally wrong. I don't care how angry you are, and then you want to use the excuse as alcohol as an excuse. That's no excuse. Alcohol is like a truth serum. You know, it's going to bring what's really inside you out to the forefront. So using that as an excuse is not an excuse at all. But I feel like the league did what it was supposed to do, get him away from the team for a while and get him going through some classes. You know, and as far as his apology, I'm kind of on the fence with that. Because every time I look at that tape, the expression on his face is like he had a lot of anger built up in him when he was screwing those words out of his mouth. That's why it's kind of hard for me to really accept that apology, because I don't know, I'm a little shaky on it. And then what really has me kind of leaning to feel a little sorry for him, because he said that he was embarrassed for his parents and that his parents did not raise him like that. I would like to hear the conversation with his parents. I would like to meet, you know, to see what his parents' reaction is on television. You know, and let's see how honest and straightforward they are, and let us know what type of parents these are. I mean, you're supposed to be screening these athletes before they even turn pro, so you have to know their family background and everything. They're supposed to run a full screening on these athletes. Somebody's lacking somewhere. And as far as the Cooper thing, you know, let's not crucify this man, because it's like, he's not the only one that's out there that's done this. Come on. You know, to me, it doesn't bother me. If you want to be ignorant, go ahead and be ignorant. I'm just going to go and pray for you anyway, and that God touches your heart in a special way so you can get that blackness out of your heart. But we need to get past all of this and stop making such a big issue out of race. As long as we keep making big issues out of race, we are all human beings. We are all God's children. That's the way we should be looking at things. And the ones that want to be ignorant, okay, let's ship them out somewhere. And that's my feel on that.
Good point, Deacon. Thank you. Now, I want to turn your attention to the other aspect of this situation. So the Vick brothers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, clearly, I don't believe that Michael Vick is supporting the man's racial slur. And frankly, my belief on his reaction is he's already been in hot water himself for the dog fighting. So I believe that he said what he said so that he can keep himself as, you know, above the fray as possible. Not that he necessarily agrees with the racism, which I think that everybody should stop giving the man a bad deal. And I don't think he was trying to be disloyal to his brother. But in the same token, I commend the man for trying to keep his dignity in place, because, frankly, racism is ignorance, and it's stupid and it's a sickness. You know, and considering the fact that I don't know what racists think, if one of those bombs that took down the World Trade Center was to land in their backyard, trust me, the explosion is going to get them too, whether they're white, black, striped, polka dotted, it doesn't matter. You know,
right.
So they're not above the fray of becoming a victim to something like that. So where racism comes into play gets me. But on the other hand, I can't really blame Marcus Vick for exploding, even though, considering he's an athlete, it was kind of stupid on his part to bring himself into a light of scandal. But, I mean, how do you blame him? I mean, we're tired. We're tired of hearing it. I have to teach my children, like I said, my 15-year-old son, it was a victim of a crime not too long ago. And, you know, in order for him to go up and report himself to a police officer as a victim, I have to teach him, make sure that you keep your hands spread wide to the side and up, and make sure that they know you're coming in peace, pretty much. Like,
right.
I'm an officer, you know, because of the fact that he's a young African-American male. So, coming back to, you know, as much as a lot of people don't want to hear that racism is a problem, it is. But as an athlete, you represent yourself because you are in the spotlight at all times. You can be sitting there with your wife or your husband and having dinner, and somebody will say, oh, look, you know, Michael Vick held his spoon this way, you know, and caused a scandal from it. Now, Michael Vick was in trouble for racing animals or fighting animals. His brother had a human reaction, which a lot of us public people tend to forget. The athlete or not, you're a human being, and you are susceptible to human emotion and to making mistakes. But was this a mistake on Riley Cooper's part? This is something that is in the man. Can an apology unring his bell? Can sensitivity classes take away something that you feel? And that's the only thing I do feel for, like you mentioned earlier, is his parents. Because if his parents did not raise this boy this way, this goes back to what we've been talking about with regards to what people see youth acting like. It's not always the parents. It's what these children grow up and take on and make choices of on their own. But this is an athlete that's involved with a team of people that are not just white or not just black. If it was a black person saying it, I don't condone it either way. what is your take on Michael Vick and Marcus Vick? What do you feel about that?
Well, let me start with Michael Vick. Okay, he did what he had to do as far as the leader of that football team, the Philadelphia Eagles. He is the leader at the present time, and he had to step in the forefront and take lead because you don't need any type of division within that team. And to keep the closeness and the peace within the team, it was part of his job to step forward and say that he had his teammates back, because in football, in NFL, that's a brotherhood. And it's just like going out to war. When you're going out there on that field, you're going out to war and you got your brother next to you, you have to be able to feel like you can depend on him. And, like, now you have people on the team thinking, like, wow, can I really trust him? Is he, you know, is he really going to be there for me? Or do I have to, you know, watch my back, or I have to have eyes in the back of my head? So I think I have to commend Michael Vick on that, because he knows that everybody makes mistakes. And I can't really say what's in that man's heart. None of us can. Only God knows that. You know, and I feel as though I would give him an opportunity to prove himself and to come back to the team and play. You know, because who am I to judge him? He's not going to have to face me when it comes to the feelings of his heart. He's the only one that knows the real inside of him. So, and as far as Marcus saying that he would put $1,000 in anybody that could take that man out, that's uncalled for.
That
is uncalled for, because I can't see you putting a bounty out on someone. Just look at what the NFL just went through with the New Orleans Saints with the bounty scandal. And now you have somebody that's supposed to be a professional athlete and supposed to be a very educated person. And for him to tweet something like that out there in the airwaves like that is not very intelligent. Even if he thought that, he should have kept it to himself. It shouldn't have been brought to somebody else, because no telling how another person's mind works. You know, you say, well, I put up $1,000 up for anybody that can take this man out. You know, God forbid that anybody of any color would get hurt seriously out there on the football field. It could be career ending. It could be life ending. You know, I've witnessed on both sides as far as football. You know, so we can't just keep dwelling on that. And I feel as though Marcus needs to get on television and give the public an apology for his action. Nobody's saying anything about that, because that wasn't very bright to say either. Why isn't anybody breathing down his neck and send him to a sensitivity classes too?
Indeed. And considering the fact that social media is the tattletale, you might not want
right.
to be out there. But getting back to the previous point that I brought up, you know, these are also athletes. Their life is never private.
Yeah.
You
right.
know, so he does have, I don't agree with the extremity of that comment, not at all. It was a little
right.
too intense. Absolutely. Do I understand it? Yes. I understand it. But I don't condone that either. You're absolutely right. That's like, you know, saying I'm going to put a hired hit out on someone. And that's true. You know, whether it was out of frustration or not, Marcus Vick, you know, I got you. And in that case, what you brought up earlier, yes, Michael Vick was in more of a just he's in quite a few situations with this one centralized point. He's like you said, he's in charge of the team. He was an athlete that was previously in his own scandal. You know, he got a second chance, and I think he's trying to keep his nose clean, unlike a few previous people that got over or got by. You know, he's taking
right.
the second chance to do the right thing. And in any sport, any team sport, morale is a big factor in the success of the play. So, absolutely, as a team leader, he has to keep up the team's morale. And
right.
him distancing himself from Marcus Vick's comments was a smart move on his part, you know. And at the other hand, maybe I'm not sure if he's the older or the younger brother. I'm not sure in that case.
Well, Marcus?
No,
Marcus,
Michael.
Marcus is the younger brother.
Okay, so good. Then on that respect, Michael is also leading by example for his younger sibling.
Right.
So whatever private debates that they had about him not going in his brother's favor, you know, it works out because as the older sibling, you know, he has a chance to say, listen, man, come on, you know, you see what happened with me when I did my stupid stuff.
Right.
You know, so it works out, and I do commend Michael Vick 190% for, you know, his stance and the way that he handled the situation. Now, I also feel for the team members who, let me say that I commend the team members that forgave but still are entitled to their frustrations as a human with the teammates.
Right.
Who knows what these guys have shared, believing
right.
that Riley Cooper, you know, found everybody equal. You know, so...
Right, because go ahead.
I was just saying that I can understand the shock and the hurt and the betrayal that they feel with regards to, you know, now they're finding out that this guy they've been sharing drinks with at celebratory events, you know, believes that the guy that they're sitting with is black, so he's a nigger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if anybody would look up that definition, it's not about blacks. It's just what ignorant people turned it into. Nigger means
right.
ignorant. You know,
right.
so if anybody trying to be a person with any kind of sense and integrity, they would understand that calling someone a nigger means you find them ignorant.
Right.
Now, you were saying, sir, I'm sorry.
Now, the comment I wanted to make now, mind you, this wasn't just done. This was something that he did way back in June, and it would just happen to somebody to get released. Somebody got paid to release that, you know, and he just had the opportunity to get on a starting position on that team. You know, we have a lot of people in the world that hate on other people and don't want to see them doing good. You know, how are we to know that maybe somebody did this to get back at him because he wouldn't do something that they wanted him to do and say, well, I got this on tape, so now you don't want to give me something? Well, I'm going to get something out of you anyway. So, you know, let me go ahead and get paid for this little comment that you made, and I can step back out of the way, and I'll be happy, and you'll be sad. But you know, it's just the way things are in the world today and the way people think is really sickening, you know. And for the guys on his team, I commend them for forgiving them, but it's natural. You're not going to forget. You're not going to forget.
We don't have that ability.
Right. You know, God says forgive. We can forgive, but he says I haven't found anything in the Bible that says, forgive and forget. I haven't found that yet. So if anybody out there has found that where it says in the Bible, forgive and forget, you get in contact with me because I haven't seen it yet. You know, and that's something that's gonna be hard. It's not gonna be something that's gonna go away overnight. He's gonna have to live with that basically for the rest of his life. That's what his main legacy is gonna be known for. That comment that he made. And it's sad for that to even be because we need to stomp out racism, period, anyway. It should be a law against racism, period.
Indeed. And I want to touch on something that you said earlier. You said this comment was made back in June and it's just coming out, which goes back to the fact that when you become an athlete, especially a pro athlete, you know...
You're a target.
Yeah. It's a 50-50 chance at all times that you're going to be spotted and reported or whatever. And you're right. But he did get paid for it. Paparazzi strives on that.
Yeah.
You know, paparazzi have been known to take to cause the death of a lot of people or injuries or high-speed chasing. You know, and so you know when you take on this role or this is what you dream about, that you are putting yourself out there. So you have a double responsibility and twice the fight keeping your integrity in check. You're right. Alcohol does not take away, you know, it's nothing but a truth serum.
That's right.
You know, I've always heard from my older generation that a drunk mind speaks a sober tongue.
That's right.
You know, so you're out there, you're out there, and what you are doing is you're putting your life on blast. So either way you look at it, you have to stand twice as erect when you walk out in the street and give people the assumptions, not any truth-based anything. You should always carry yourself in a way where should something come out, you can protect yourself, saying, I don't know where they got this from, but this is the situation. Or live in a way where you don't have to offer information one way or the other.
Right.
People have their own assumptions about it because eventually, when they can't get anything out of it, it'll go away. But this is not going to go away. Even if it dies down, it will never go away. Somebody will always remember that this man and his team, and even the teammates, just think about that. You know, whatever friendships he's formed with his African-American teammates, very few of them are going to be able to look past that and see him the same again.
Right.
And they always say that words are more powerful than actions, and that's true. A bruise can go away. But something that hurt from a word, nope. Even his parents now, they're going to see him in a way that shocks them. If they raise him the way that he said, you know, they're going to look at their son and go, where did that come from?
Right, right.
And you're right about he has to live with himself. He has to live with a whole lot more. So, yeah, I'm not going to point the fingers too much either. But I'm not going to sit there and accept the fact that he's apologizing because in that 1 minute he did some soul searching and he's disgusted with himself. Not till I see it.
Right.
You can't unring a bell. You really can't.
Right.
You really can't. So that's hard. It's a hard thing, you know. But Michael Vick, I commend him. I commend him because whatever second chances that he has gotten, he's valuing it and he's cherishing it for what it means, you know. And
right.
I wonder if he could understand, or maybe he's speaking from a point of being. We're having worn those shoes and saying, you know, I know how hard it is to live down a scandal. And I know
right.
how I have to deal with myself with it. So, you know, he can understand if Riley Cooper is truly feeling the remorse of this all, he's understanding how that can be affecting to him. And he does
right.
have a job as a team captain, team leader, whatever his role is, to keep his team's mind together because they owe something to the fans that are paying all this money to come see them, to get out there and
right.
perform at their best. Because sadly, being in the public image, you have people that make you where you are that are not very forgiving or not very understanding. All they care
right.
about is that you screwed up and they're paying for you. They're
right.
not seeing the human side. So as bad as that is, you need to, you know, tune in to whatever therapist you have, whatever support network you have, because you chose a field that doesn't have a forgiving audience. Look at Michael
right.
Jackson, the greatest entertainer that ever lived. And, you know, he got it bad. He got it bad
yeah.
because something that was perceived to be an issue.
Right.
Nobody was looking at the fact that when this first young man came forward for abuse, that the father of this young man was not thinking about his child's tragedy or trauma before he was trying to blackmail Mike into giving him money to start a book.
Right.
And when Mike said, no, I'm not giving you anything, he was like, oh, well, then I'm going to the press. He wasn't thinking about the trauma that his poor son was going through if this truly took place. No one
right.
saw that. Because Michael should have performed or behaved in a manner that if he was trying to be this humanitarian, he was supposed to cover his own butt at the same time.
Right.
You know, so that is the problem. He couldn't be the free-spirited, open-hearted person that he was because certain things could be deemed inappropriate. And because he's a celebrity, it's going to be intensified 3 times as much. So if these athletes, I'm sorry to say that, to a point, you know, some of us don't have sympathy. Because you
right.
did the thing knowing that this is going to come back to haunt you. It's never private. It's never private. And you knew this going in. So your behavior is on you. Choosing to drink if you know you can't handle your liquor and then saying something that somebody's going to go, hey, I recognize that guy. Ooh, did you hear what he just said? Catch that on tape. This
yeah.
is a world of cellular technology.
Yeah.
Now you want to say you're sorry, and we have to wonder, are you sorry because you really realize, wait a minute, this is how bad I looked? That's not me. Or, oh, my God, damn, somebody caught me. How can anybody believe that sensitivity classes is going to take away the nature of that remark.
Right.
You know, that's the issue. But like you said, none of us are in a position to judge anyone. And we may very well have learned something from this. Maybe the downfall or the drop down from the spotlight, you know, or being the big hero that he might have been to a few people, meant something. But how about those kids that are looking up to him?
Yeah.
You know, some kid is going to walk out going, you know, I'll beat all you niggers. You know what I mean? I mean, this is getting started. This is an avalanche that sensitivity classes is not going to help. But now, if he should take what just took place and come back out and go, listen, what you saw me do, that's not a glamorous thing to do. It was not. It was stupid. And couple that with the fact that it was under alcohol, now he can advocate against two things. So maybe this will work for him. Hopefully he'll take it and he'll say, let me take my bad thing and make it into a good thing. You certainly have done, Deacon, you certainly have a personal experience with doing that. You know, so there is hope from tragedy, you know. So hopefully that works out very much. You listeners that are out there, you can feel free to chime in. We have about a half an hour left in the show. So those of you listening, if you have something to say, call me in at 347-327-9967. You know, give your thoughts in. We are going to take a small break. When I come back, I do have to read off our entrepreneurs one more time, and then we will continue this discussion until the show ends. Deacon, please hang out with us a little bit. I always enjoy your input, and you always have
No problem.
Okay, so our next up, we will, let me see now. Evan, I played. Okay, Kayla Shea, that's your niece, and we will be playing up her next one, which is What I Need. And when we come back, we will resume reading off our entrepreneurs, and then we will get back into this discussion. So hang out with me for a bit.
All right.
come fill my hunger. Baby, give me what I need.
Take that, take that.
Baby, give me what I need.
Take that, take that.
Come and make my love come down. Make sure that I stay around. Oh,
you know I gotta get that.
Oh,
you know I gotta get that.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I want to say thank you to my guest co-host who was with us a little earlier, little Layla. And she actually likes this song. Deacon, this is your niece. And I actually have to tell you that I like this track very much. So I wanted to know what you think so that if she's listening, she can hear what you think of it.
Well, naturally, I love her. I love her to death. And I like the song tremendously. And I think that once she gets with some real good people and she works more on her craft, and she's like I said, she's been doing this for a very long time. And I pray for her every day that some doors really start opening for her, because she really deserves it.
Yeah, we will be working for her for sure. But I definitely think that out of all the three tracks I've played, that one blends her voice, her style. I love the beat. Everything is cool on that one.
My opinion, it's a real tight groove to it. I love it.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. All right, just 1 second. We have to go off. Listeners, this is our up-and-coming entrepreneurs. We read them off a little bit earlier, but we are now, I'm very proud because we have reached out to people across the United States that have posted with us, and I've actually gotten feedback that a lot of them have received one or two customers from our market page. So those of you that are out there listening that are in the middle of doing a little business, either you're a single mom or a young person that's out there, please contact us so we can post you and showcase you every Saturday. Now, let me start off with our businesses once again. We have Miss Latasha out in Lansdale, Pennsylvania. She is the owner of Tasha's Tassels. On our website, you will see examples of her work. She can do some twisty locks up in your hair. She does children. She does men. She does women. She's absolutely awesome, and she's a young lady trying to make it work out there, too, and stay above the fray. If you like to get your hair done in some twisty style, contact Latasha at tashastassels@gmail.com. Now, let's move on to Flint, Michigan, to our boy Mo Mosley. He is hustling out there with two services. One is under Ianka Photography and Imaging in Flint, Michigan. He has some incredible work. So if you're in the Flint, Michigan area, and for those of you that have been posting religiously in his sports page on Facebook and you want your photography done, see Mr. Mo, because you guys have been chatting it up with him. Support him out there. You can contact him for photography and imaging at marmos567@gmail.com. That's M like Mary, A-R-M-O-S, 567@gmail.com. Let's move on to his next service, which is music. Under Mosley Sound, Inc. in Flint, Michigan, contact him at mosleysound@aol.com, and you can find out what he can do for you with music and tone. You can get some samples of his music. If you visit our webpage, there's a link to his official Facebook pages, and also on Facebook itself, you can see him under Mosley Sound or Ianka Photography and Imaging. Okay. Next up, we have, in Brooklyn, New York, Mr. Nate Johnson. He has two businesses that he is involved with. One of them is for PC repair and IT services, okay? If you were in Brooklyn and dealt with Nate before under the name PC Mac, he is now called Doodle Technologies in Brooklyn. You can contact Nate at doodletechnologies@gmail.com for your PC services. And if you would like a good DJ, if you are a nonprofit organization such as a church or a school or an agency, you can contact him for free DJ-based services with lighting and sound. Or if you just want to plan an event for family or some community stuff that you do, he does charge fees for you as a nonprofit or a not nonprofit organization, you can contact him at the number 4playmusicentertainment@4playmusicent@gmail.com. In New York, New York, if you want to book Mr. Dave G, we have the pleasure of seeing Mr. Dave G in action at the Brooklyn Exposure and the Mother's Day event. This man is energetic, he's fun, he's got some cool tunes. He's the winner of Barry Mason's Track One's Entertainment, So You Think You Can Sing. And he is managed by Zena Gilliard. She can be reached at zenagilliard@yahoo.com under ZMG Management. If you want to book Mr. G for any type of event or opening acts or anything like that, contact zenagilliard@yahoo.com. All right, in St. Albans, Queens, New York, we have M&R Weave Design by Miss Michelle Roberts. That is my personal girlfriend. She is hot with her hair doings, and if you want to look like a movie star, contact Michelle at 347-399-0139 in St. Albans, New York, and she will hook you up. Now, getting back to the next item on the event, after you see Miss Michelle in St. Albans, head over to Brooklyn, New York, where you can contact Mr. Jonathan Ellaby of JE Photos. You've seen his work on Facebook and under JE Photos. All right, this guy can make a dusty housewife look like she should be a model on a magazine, and I am not exaggerating. This guy is hot, okay? He can take your personal essence and put it on film, and you wouldn't know where it comes from. Because I hate every picture I've taken. He's taken a sample of me, and I love it. So contact Jonathan Ellaby at, let me get him. The websites are not reacting well to the weather out here, so just give us a sec. Mr. Jonathan Ellaby is 347-599-4535. Make sure I got that correct. For those of you that emailed me today telling me that you feel my technical problems, I thank you and that you're going to hang with me. I love you to death. Thank you very much. Yes, Mr. Ellaby, 347-599-4535 for JE Photos. Now, let me go back to my wonderful young lady. Her name is Darlene Cox Owens. For those of you that have ever been to a circus or one of those MSG in New York or any special sports arena, and you have been to a circus or a carnival, and you've bought those light-up fandangles that you wear around your neck or you wave like a little Star Wars wand, this is what Darlene does. Darlene makes up these type of fandangles, and they light up, they flash, but it's not just those little simple necklaces or those little light-up little sticks. She does bracelets, she does watches, she does toe rings, she does rings, earrings, and she is hot with it. You can reach her at 347-677-6700. Let me do this again. Lord, this website. All right, Miss Darlene, she is at Lights in the City, that is the name, 347-677-6500. Okay, if I've missed anyone today, our website is acting up, but you guys can see all of our entrepreneurs on the OTA website on Wix.com. Also, I will be posting them on my Facebook page and on the OTE Facebook page, and you can just see for yourself at your own time, okay? Also, all you record producers that are out there, the artists that you are hearing us play and that are listed on our market pages are young people trying very hard to make it in this career business, and they're trying their best to stay out of being a statistic from today's youth problem. They are looking to be signed. They are willing to work. They are willing to take whatever open critiques that you give them, and however long it takes, they're into it, especially Ms. Kay Lachey, Ms. Jive Music, and also the group Livra, the ones that are out there promoting spirituality and Christianity in their music, and Mr. Marcus MC Silvers, who's also hustling all the time. Okay, this guy is doing it. Contact us. If you can't reach them directly, reach me, and we will get you connected somehow. All right? Guys, we're going to take one celebrity break with the music from Mr. Charlie Wilson. When we come back, we're going to resume in our last 22 minutes the sports news, and then we're going to lead out for tonight. Okay, Deacon Williams, hang out with me just a little bit longer. Listen to Mr. Wilson, and we will be back.
I notice you from across the room. Excuse me, miss, don't take this wrong. I couldn't resist that smile and those beautiful eyes. I can see that you wear fancy clothes and drive a fancy car. Your hair did and your nails done, looking like a superstar. Can I take you out? Count seven figures, and I may not have a sailboat and a big old mansion, oh no, but I do know how to love you, baby, and in my own way, in my own way, I'm rich as hell. I really hope that none of this don't matter, and I hope that you don't judge a man by his status. And I was wondering if you and I could get together and know each other better. And I promise you, I'll give my all and make my heart your best. I give you all.
Welcome back, everyone, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. One of my absolute favorite songs with Mr. Wilson. We are in the middle of discussing the Riley Cooper situation with the racial slurs, and we're also discussing our viewpoints on the reactions of his teammates, in particular, Michael and Marcus Vick. So we have Mr. Deacon Desi Williams on the line. I have heard from so many of you loving his input, and I'm also very glad that even on the weekend he's taking time out to contribute to the panel. So let me bring him back in and we will continue this discussion, okay? Hi, Mr. Williams, you're back.
Yes, yes.
Hi there. All right, so we were discussing, you know, like you said, it's not our place to judge indeed, but we also know that celebrities, they have an undying and continuous obligation to keep their nose clean because people are watching them, children in particular. You know, The other thing that I think sort of upset me as well with the reaction was, situation was this. Sports rage has become such a big problem. I mean, people are taking the events of sports to a whole different level lately. You know, friendships are being lost. People are being hit, you know, beat up. Fights are happening. You know, so from the fan's point of view, you know, stupidness from being a sports fan is already, like, on high alert, right? So now, why would you do something that can cause more fire to that? You know, I think that sometimes the sensationalism and the stardom gets to some of these athletes' heads, and they forget the repercussions that come from it. So tell me, what do you think of that? What do you think of that?
Well, it's basically, like I said, boy, it's so many things that are going on, man. It's like mind-boggling, you know?
Yeah, I get it. It is. It confuses me because it's like everybody, even if you're a star or an athlete or a singer, that it didn't happen to before. You
right.
You know where it's going.
Yeah.
But
see, you have to know, you have to know. They should know from the time that they're a star athlete in college. There should be some type of a training program that they go through before they even come into the pros. I mean, it doesn't make sense. How could someone that's supposed to be so highly educated and so talented not know that you're basically under a magnifying glass the rest of your life, especially when you're one of those top-notch star athletes? You can't make a move without somebody breathing down your neck. So you have to be very careful what you do, what you say, where you hang out, because it's a totally different thing. It's a lot of these young guys turn pro, and they come from these low income communities, and they can't seem to pull themselves away from it. But what it is, they have to get through their heads. Okay, it's all right to don't forget where you came from, and it's all right to go back and try and give back to your community. But it's not a place where you can just go and hang out anymore. That's dead and gone. You know, and let the people talk all they want. Well, he thinks he's better. Well, if you think that I'm thinking that I'm better, that's a lie, because I come back to the community. I try and do as much as I can. But I'm not going to keep bending over backwards for people that don't appreciate nothing and want to just talk about me all the time. So what I do, I'll distance myself. Sometimes you have to remove certain people out of your lives, you know, because they're not really the friends that you thought they were. And it's time for you to move on and make better decisions on your life, because now you are labeled a professional. A professional is totally different than just a regular Joe. You're no longer a regular Joe. You are a professional. You need to start to carry yourself as a professional.
Indeed. And the thing that I also thought about that's kind of a little scary is that even after you've retired from whatever your celebrity status was, you are still in the spotlight. Because
yes, you
now
are.
It'll come to, now you'll get scandal and it'll just tag this on. Former NFL player, former president, former
right.
singer, former member of R&B group, former this. You know, your life belongs to a bunch of strangers now.
Right.
You know, your children are growing up being the daughter or son of. So
mm-hmm.
they're in the spotlight as well. But going in, you chose this. So now how do you stay ahead of your own situation? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to be so hard to say that even as a that even because you're a pro or an athlete, that you're not entitled to have a bad moment. You're not entitled to like Carmelo Anthony, for example. I'll give that example. I got a little upset with the fact that the NBA got so hard on him for reacting. This was not him reacting to some fan calling him a softie on the field. This was a man opponent telling him that he wants to lick his wife.
That was uncalled for, very much so.
You understand? And he feeling, being a man, because he wasn't thinking NBA at the time, okay, him being a man reacted to a man, as a man.
Right.
And I guess he wasn't thinking about the game at the moment. If somebody had just said that one of your opponent players just smacked your kid across the mouth and your kid fell down, you're not going to be thinking about the basketball court. So I do not blame him for doing that. Now, yes, there's a penalty for it, and I'm sure he's willing to take it, but I don't appreciate the public coming down on him for that. Okay? I don't appreciate the public coming down on him for that. Why isn't the public coming down on Riley Cooper? I mean, I'm seeing so many of these people going, oh, the boy just made a mistake. He's talking about racism right after a high racially profiled case just hit the news. People are still reeling from the Zimmerman verdict. People are still having debates about the Zimmerman verdict. You know,
right.
you're a star causing more of this to happen. But being something stupid is what? You want to say it was on the alcohol? This is what you feel.
Right.
How is an apology and sensitivity class is going to do you any good? Except for you to do something for yourself. For you to say, you know what? This is something that's bad about me, and I've got to change it. So with that, with all due respect, you know, I commend him if that's the way he's going with it. But don't say it's not something that you're not like. You can say your parents didn't raise you that way. That's a statement of fact. But you can't say that's not what you feel.
Right.
You can't say that that's not you. You're not that type of person. Yes, you are. That is your personal views, your personal beliefs, and it just came out under your truth serum, which, by the way, you made a sound adult decision to indulge in at a public event. You decided to drink to a point that you can't control what you say.
Right.
As an athlete. And he's not like a bench athlete, you know. He's on the field. He's known in the cameras. So
yeah. You're
doing what you want to do. And I have a hard time with that. Now, will I sit there and be completely, you know, upset for the rest of my days? No, he's got to live with it. It's no sweat off my back. But to say it in public and my children can read, and they have to hear another thing about their race being said by somebody who's supposed to be a person that would be welcoming of children to sign autographs for, that's where it would offend me.
Right.
But am I buying that this man is sorry for what he said? Absolutely not. I'm buying that he hates like hell that he got caught. And that he thought that nobody heard him the first month, but he didn't expect it would come back. How could you not?
Yeah.
Michael Vick, I commend you. Marcus Vick, you went a little too stupid, but I understand
yeah.
where it came from.
A little too stupid, it was just outright stupid, because that was really, that was something he really should have kept to himself, even if he thought that. And God forbid that this young man comes back to play. I'm pretty sure that it's a game that he loves. But he has to know that is a brotherhood, and he just damaged the brotherhood that's around him, and which is his team. And he's really got to look at that. They're not going to look at him the same again. That's gone out the window. He just threw that out of the window. So he's going to be walking on the eggshells from now on. So he's got, you know, he has to clean up his act. First of all, he needs to get on his knees and ask God for forgiveness. That's where he needs to really get forgiveness from. Well, we know God is going to forgive him anyway, but he has to admit the wrongdoings that he did, and be done with it. I mean, the rest of the time here in this world, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy, you know. But the way he said it, and it just flowed from him like, you know, like not a care in the world. It's like, oh my goodness, this is something that's been in this man's heart.
True.
You know, so it's going to take some work. It's going to take some work to change his heart and to change his mind about things.
And he's going to have to win back the trust of a lot of people. And I'm
not sure.
You know, once trust is broken, it's not easily brought given back.
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not.
It's not given back. And it's a very sad situation for him. And it's a very sad situation now for his locker room relations. You know, it still has to be something that's going to be on the team's mind, no matter how many which ways they were commanded to keep it to themselves.
Right.
And I'm starting to think that, you know, I believe that all of these athletic leagues, really, with a situation like this, they should have like a mandatory type of group meeting where when a person offends them this way, like these team players were, they should have a forum, you know, between games or whatever, where it could come out and they can be able to say what that person's actions did to them from individual standpoint and for the team. I feel that because I think that as much as it might be, it's not going to be such a super pleasant thing, but this wasn't a pleasant situation either.
Right.
This wasn't a pleasant situation either. And it's a very sad thing. I don't understand why no one is listening to, you know, or paying attention to what their fellow celebrities go through with stuff like this.
Right.
I mean, whether they're in the same field of stardom or not, Britney Spears ruined her career going bananas. Miley Cyrus started going crazy with her stuff. You know, Michael Jackson did one thing and his career was never the same. Michael Vick, this guy's very teammate, had his own experience with it. That close to home, and it didn't occur to you to do something different?
Yeah.
It didn't occur to you to be on your P's and Q's? You chose to go out there knowing that alcohol at a certain point does something to you? I'm sorry if, you know, you're tired and frustrated that people aren't, you know, understanding that you have a life too. You don't have a life when you chose to be a pro athlete.
Right.
You don't.
Your life is an open book. It's an open book.
You just don't have a life. And you chose it and you knew it. And I guess going in when the money looked good on paper, there's a price. There's a price. And unfortunately, you have a price to pay, and that's the price you choose to pay. But you have to make the best of your situation with what you're given, and you have to do it to the best of your ability, where there's a balance between keeping your face straight and still being a human being. It's like a police officer. You're getting into a business where you are facing the barrel of a gun on a daily basis as part of your job.
Right.
You knew going in that you're not getting paid lottery bucks. You don't have the right to take out your personal frustrations with union benefits or whatever on public people. You don't. Your job is to protect that public. Not my fault that they're not giving you $90,000 a year. I'm sorry. You knew going in what the stakes were. So that is my opinion of it. And as far as Mr. Cooper, yes, I hope that this is a soul-searching thing that, you know, he does make perhaps for real, you know, that he will realize that is a part of me that is a problem. That's a part of me that's a problem. Down to 3 minutes, Deacon. So, you know, give your last thoughts on it and hopefully any children listening out there.
Well, first of all, I would like to say that we as a nation, we need to get together and stamp out racism altogether, period. Children don't know color when they're coming up. It is taught to them. And the parents that teach racism, they need to be brought up on charges of child abuse, because that is, to me, a form of child abuse when you teach hate to a child.
Indeed.
And I just, my prayer is that our society and the world can get past the color barrier, because it's in God's eyes, that's non-existent. We are all His children, and we all have to contribute to the kingdom of God. So how can we do that and we're looking at each other's color? It just doesn't make sense. It seems like whenever there's a disaster going on in the world, or when it's hitting us right here on our own soil here in the United States, we can all come together. But once we get everything back together, it's like, okay, we're going to go back to our regulars. Okay, now I hate you. How can you say that when both our lives were just on the line together? It don't make sense. It doesn't make sense. So my prayer is that we as a nation can be stronger and come together and wipe out the color barrier.
Thank you, sir, for that. Okay, guys, we are down to our last 2 minutes. I want to end off tonight by saying, you know, be blessed, and make a difference. Teach your children something different. You know, we're all equal. We're all allowed to live in a country of being a melting pot of freedom and liberties and civil rights. Let's get out there and make sure that we as a nation come together. Put God first, because that's the problem right now, and let's make a difference with what we can control in our own home and any place else in the world. So until Monday, okay, have a happy Sunday, everybody. I will see you here Monday night at our regular time, 8 o'clock. All right? Be blessed. Be a blessing tonight.
All right. Back at you.
On the Edge. Real talk about real issues.